This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Tuesday. And here's what's on tap for tonight. About 30 minutes from now, I would say 30 minutes, 45 minutes from now, 30 minutes from now, we're having on an FBI agent, whistleblower, came forward, friend of the show, listener of the show, a hero, genuine American hero, is going to join us about 30 minutes from now. Stay tuned for that. What if all these things, when it comes to the Pfizer announcements and Biden today, what if all those things come down to money? We'll talk about that. I am going to offend everyone. Maybe this is the night I get fired. In fact, I'm going to do that here in just a couple minutes. I'm going to defend the indefensible. Maybe this will be my last night on the radio. If not, or if so, I'll see you around Red Lobster sometime. We're going to talk about student test scores. Trump and Ron DeSantis beginning the circling of each other, as I told you they would. Crime, dyeing your hair, and so much more coming up tonight on the Jesse Kelly Show. But I want to begin here. Responses. Response to bad things. Response to injustice. We want them to be in the proper proportion, do we not? There is an appropriate level of response when wrongs have been done. If I sat down here right now and I told you, hey, last night was out looking out my front window, saw some dude walk by and threw an empty beer can on my front lawn, just littered. So I ran out there and I said, hey, dirtball, get back here, pick up your beer can. You'd say, yeah, good for you, Jesse. If he threw that beer can on my lawn, and instead of yelling at him, I went to the fridge and chugged a beer myself and then went to his house and threw a beer in his lawn, you'd say, okay, a little childish, but I get it. Good for you, Jesse. I got it. Nice. If a man threw a beer can on my front lawn last night, and instead I ran into the garage and grabbed a sledgehammer and ran out and shattered both of his knees and his elbows, you would say, oh my goodness, who is this psychopath on the radio? What's wrong with you? Responses should be proportional, should they not? I haven't gotten into any of the Kanye West stuff, and you know why. Because I don't fall in love with the newest celebrity who says one thing I like, with the newest billionaire. I don't fall in love with politicians on my own side. Like I've told you before, use them all like rental cars. Get them to get you where you want to go and then drop them off and walk away and never think about them again. So I haven't gotten into any of the Kanye West stuff. Nor should I. I mean, my goodness, it's controversial. We're talking cultural issues and there's black issues and Jewish issues and all. You should never talk about this, but we're about to talk about this because I love issues that I'm told I shouldn't talk about. Kanye West came out and said a whole bunch of really stupid things about Jews. And now let's pause on this for a moment and let's acknowledge something. There are huge cultural tensions in America between the black community and the Jewish community. We have talked about it endlessly. How many violent crimes have you seen in New York City between the black community and the Jewish community? You remember it wasn't too long ago, so that nut job went into the synagogue with a freaking machete and chop up Chris. You remember that whole thing. And this is not something new. These tensions have been around for decades. Decades these tensions have been here. Okay, so there are cultural tensions there. Kanye West, not necessarily the most in control of what he says, has just taken to the airwaves to blast Jews this and Jews that and Jewish people doing this and Jews this. And it was kind of cringy and made everyone a little bit uncomfortable. And okay, can we get him some help? It seems like he's maybe not doing well. So I didn't like it. You didn't like it. No one really liked it. And then something happened. I watched something happen. It's still happening as we speak. There are people in this country, many, many, many of those people are Jewish. Many of them are actually friends of mine. And I've watched them spend over a week now not calling out the anti-Semitism, not calling out stupid hate and things like that. I've watched them over a week now say, how has Adidas not fired Kanye yet? Why does Kanye still have a talent agency? Yeah, good. Cut off its bank. Okay, guys, you just became the guy with the sledgehammer. Kanye West said a bunch of stupid things about Jews. Taking Kanye West's stupid comments about Jews and turning that into a campaign to financially ruin him and burn him to ash doesn't make you look good. You look ridiculous. You look over the top and ridiculous. You look hateful, spiteful, and I'll tell you something else. Kanye West, he voiced anger and hatred that comes from the black community towards Jews. Like I said, there's been cultural tensions there. You know how you resolve cultural tensions? You come out and you talk about them, oftentimes in uncomfortable ways. I've been trying to have a talk about these cultural tensions on the radio. Longtime listeners will remember, I've been having these conversations on the radio for a long time, and I can't get anyone from either community to come on the air and have an honest discussion about it. If you're in the black community and you hate Jews, come tell me why. What are the issues? If you're in the Jewish community and you have a problem with black people, come tell me why. What are the sources of the tensions? Let's talk about it. Maybe there's something we can work out. Maybe leaders of the community can come together. But if you're a black person today, and maybe you don't like Jews, and again, I don't understand these cultural tensions. I'm not in either one of these communities, but maybe you're a black person today and you don't like Jews. Do you like them more now that they've utterly destroyed Kanye West? Or did the campaign to destroy Kanye West confirm every worst suspicion you have? I find it to be the most frustrating thing in the world that I want to have discussions about race tensions and cultural tensions because that's how I believe they get solved, and no one else does. No one else does. It's, no, shut up, anti-Semite, racist, no, you can't say this, no, cancel him, fire him, no. Why can't we sit down and talk? What are the tensions? I've had this talk before about the Asian tensions with the black community. Black people and Asians have these tensions, and what have I been ranting about all the time? From the black end, I will at least get some honesty about this. They have told me the Asian community sets up shop in the black community. They run the shops, and they yell at black people and think they're all stealing. From the Asian community, you know what I've gotten mostly? Stop Asian hate hashtags on Twitter. I can't get any honest discussion about the tensions. What are the sources of the tensions? How do we work out the tensions? Is there a way to work out the tensions? You do know that cultural tensions, religious tensions, racial tensions, or they're not unique to America or New York City. They're the entire history of the world. Different peoples are different, and not all people happen to mesh very well. Some people mesh very well. In America today, speaking of Jews, Jewish community, Christian community, meshes perfectly. That's why they get along so well here in America. Historically, not so much. Has not always been the case. In the world today, Jews, they don't fare so well in those Muslim countries, many of them. There are tensions there. Lots of history there. If we don't ever talk about it, if it just turns into fire him, ruin his life, the tensions don't get better. The tensions get worse. Responses should be proportional. Kanye West says something dumb about Jews or controlling. Did he say you people control the weather, Chris? I didn't see all of it. It was the media. But Kanye West saying dumb things about Jews, dumb. You deciding that Adidas has to fire him or else the Holocaust is coming back? Ridiculous. And not proportional. Not proportional at all. And makes cultural tensions worse. Not better. It makes them worse. Kanye West and his legion of followers, shoot, they're probably thinking worse things now than they were thinking before because of this whole thing. This stuff makes tensions worse. Start being adults. Everyone, of every color, every race, every religion, start being adults and having discussions about the cultural tensions that are out there. I have seen it. I have experienced this with all my, with all my time in the various cultures I've been friends with and am friends with and involved in. And you know, the only time I've ever seen things get better, when people talk. Oftentimes uncomfortably, but people talk. Well, you guys do this. Well, yeah, but that's because you guys do this. Well, yeah, but you do this. Well, when did all this start? Before you know it, you're hugging and having a beer and working things out. Or we could just get everyone fired. We'll see which one eases tensions the most. All right, that's enough of that. That's more celebrity talk than I've done in a long, long time. Let's talk about COVID and money. And let's talk again about crime. Is it going to get better? Hang on.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're going to love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and you know what I should have done to open the show now that I'm probably going to be fired? Nah, they're not going to fire me, but I told you I was going to offend you. I love these talks. We're always going to have these talks, but you know what I should have done? Not that I would ever admit a fault or a flaw, Chris. I should have given a heartfelt congratulations to every single New York City worker for the New York Supreme Court ruling. In case you've been hiding under a rock, breaking. This is from the Post Millennial. It's not really breaking anymore. It was breaking this morning. New York City ordered by the court to reinstate all those fired over COVID vaccine mandates with back pay. Every firefighter, NYPD cop, every city worker who stood your ground and got fired, congratulations. Enjoy that back pay. Go buy something nice for yourself. Take the honey out to Red Lobster tonight. Congratulations to all of you, and screw you to all the people who actually fired them over something so ridiculous. And you know what? I hope this catches on nationwide. And that brings me perfectly into this. Joe Biden got up and got a booster shot today. Of course, because we live in this clown performative society now, he, of course, had to do this on camera. No one can just go to the doctor's office. He had to do it on camera. And then he said some things. Now, I'm going to focus on this one here first and foremost, because it really is amazing how much the truth is just completely gone anymore. These people, they really do. They tell easily verifiable lies without end. This was Joe Biden from today.
And if you get it, you're protected. And if you don't, you're putting yourself and other people on unnecessary risk.
If you don't get it, you're putting other people at risk? Why? They have now come out and admitted, everybody, Pfizer, CDC, FDA, every single person has come out now and been forced to admit that the vaccine does not stop transmission. Oh, don't get me wrong. When they were lying to you, trying to get you to inject yourself with that, they were more than happy to tell you it prevents transmission, even though they had no idea whether it did or didn't. We know now for a fact, again, not my opinion, a fact, it does not prevent transmission. And yet the president, oh, do you have it? Oh, play it, Chris.
Our vaccines are working exceptionally well. They continue to work well for Delta with regard to severe illness and death. They prevent it. But what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission. So if you're going.
That's the head of Biden's CDC a year ago saying they don't prevent transmission. But Joe Biden apparently hasn't gotten the software update.
And if you get it, you're protected. And if you don't, you're putting yourself and other people on unnecessary risk. The shot is free. It's widely available.
You're putting other people at risk. There is no more truth anymore. And this is the kind of stuff, this is the kind of stuff that weirds me out. Think how few of us there really are in society that know the truth now. Wrap your mind around this. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, Jesse, but talk radio is big. You know, Rush Limbaugh talked to 15 million people a week. Maybe you're thinking that. Okay. There are 330 million Americans. 15 million knew the truth about something? 15 million? That's nothing. What if you had a village? We do the village analogy all the time because it's easy to understand. And 100 people lived in the village. And 5 of the people in the village knew the truth about things. And 95 of them resided entirely in a world of make-believe. How in the world could that village survive? And I think about this when I think about you. And frankly, me. You take the time, you dig into the issues, you figure out how to think about things, what the truth really is. You see through the lies, and it's good. But you are surrounded by people who don't. And we're not even talking about the communists who push the lies. I mean the well-meaning, normal people out there. What chance do you have? What chance do I have when we are surrounded by people who have no idea everything is a lie? Like even your friend who's starting to come around politically at this point in time, maybe he's going to go out and vote in the midterms for the first time. I'm voting Republican. These gas prices, you know, something like that. But even he, if you asked him what he thought about what he saw on the ABC News, NBC News, what would he say? Well, yeah, it's definitely slanted. It's this liberal for sure. No, they're outright black and white lies. They're outright lies. Everything they're telling you is a lie. They're not even allowed to tell the truth now. Remember that story on CBS? CBS ran a story. They stumbled into some actual journalism. They did a story on Ukraine. You know, we're sending all this ammo and munitions and things like that to Ukraine. And they did a story that only 30% of it is actually going where we want it to go, which was a big scandal. They got so dogpiled, the next day they came out and retracted the story and said, sorry, we didn't have the full facts. They had reporters on the ground. They had the most facts, and they accidentally reported the truth once, and they had to retract it. How do we unpack that, right? And there's something else. Money. Boy, there's a story I'm going to get to here, and I have to talk to Stephen Friend, that FBI whistleblower. I'm going to talk to him next, or I should say we get to hear from him next. And then about 10, 15 minutes from now, we're going to go into the money aspect of this. There's a headline you probably haven't heard today, and man, if it is an eye-opening, buckle up for that. Here's a quick email I got. Jesse, I was horrified last night to hear you talk about the 25-day supply of diesel fuel. I did a little more research, and of course, the government is on it. But how well has that worked so far? I work at the most popular grocery, and I'm not going to give away their location. This has me wondering if I'm going to be out of a job and starve as well. I'm hoping I've prepared for this. Her name is Nancy. Do you have your 3-month food supply from My Patriot Supply yet? They have graciously partnered with the show to offer $250 off your emergency 3-month food kit. I hope to God it goes to waste. I'm praying it does. But man, if that diesel runs out, you'll be grateful for it. Go to preparewithjessekelly.com and get one for everyone who lives in your home. If you're alone, just get one. Preparewithjessekelly.com. Everyone in your home needs one. Go now. Make sure you're ready. Don't hope. Make sure. Prepare with JesseKelly.com. It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I'll tell you something. I've told you this 1,000 times. There's nothing special about what I do. You know why? Because I can safely come on here every single night and I can rant against vaccines or vaccine mandates, and I can rant against about the border or the FBI or all these things. And you know what happens? I get a new contract because you love it and the radio show's fine. That doesn't take guts. I get paid to do this. The people who are out there making major sacrifices, those are the people who deserve your utmost respect. Joining me now, now suspended special agent Steve Friend of the FBI. Steve, before we get into what you're currently doing, which I freaking admire more than I could ever express to you, let's get into who you are first. Who are you? What's your life been like?
Thanks, Jesse. Married for almost 11 years, father of 2 sons. Been with the FBI since 2014. Before that, I was a police officer for about 4 years. So I got about 12 years of law enforcement. In the FBI, worked mostly violent crimes occurring on Indian country reservations out in rural Nebraska. Relocated to Florida about a year and a half ago to work child pornography investigations before I was rolled into the January 6th side of things.
Okay, rolled into the January 6th kind of things. I think everybody listening would really prefer that guys like you stay on the despicable human beings doing child porn, but you were taken off of that?
I was, much to my displeasure. At the end of the fiscal year, federal government starts in October. They looked at the Jacksonville field office where I am assigned, looked at its metrics for the next year and decided that they wanted to devote more manpower and resources to domestic terrorism, specifically January 6th. When I raised a little bit of concern about that, they said that child pornography, child exploitation cases really need to be considered a local matter.
Child exploitation is a local matter, but somebody who wandered into the Capitol on January 6th is a domestic terrorist. Is that the stated position of the Federal Bureau of Investigation now?
It seems to be, and I've had the misfortune actually interviewing some of these people who did just that, walked up, got permission from the Capitol Police, went inside, and on surveillance, walked around, admired the artwork, didn't do any damage on the way out, collected a brochure from one of the souvenir stands, and exited, and is now potentially facing some federal charges.
Good grief. Okay, you've said you've been there for quite some time at the FBI, 14 years if I remember correctly. You've been there for quite some time. Is this something that is new, this overt Democrat politicization, if that's how you even say that word, of the FBI? Is this new? Has it been this way? Is it getting worse? I haven't been in those doors. Describe it for us.
So I've been in since 2014, 8 years in. I was a little bit sequestered working on Indian reservations. There's not a whole lot of politics playing into that. But I will say that in my time, I've opened up 200 plus cases. I've arrested 150 violent criminals. And the manner in which we're pursuing these January 6th cases, and many of which are actually criminal cases, they're just simple riot investigations, not domestic terrorist extremist cases. Is inconsistent with anything I've ever done, and the way that the cases are being managed is really in direct violation to the rules that the FBI sets out for itself. And I'm just in my own surmising, I think it's to actually support the political narrative that domestic terrorism is a nationwide problem, when in fact it really is not.
Speaking with suspended Special Agent Steve Friend of the FBI, Steve. Okay. I am, obviously, as I've told you, I'm thrilled that you're doing this. We need a bunch more like you to do this. Why don't we have them? I hear all the time about all the great men and women at the FBI, and I am positive you've worked with some of them. But the silence right now is pretty deafening, Steve, as this organization turns into something many people think is criminal. Where is everyone?
I wonder that a lot myself. It pains me to say that. I know a lot of the great men and women at the FBI are friends with many of them, to a man, with the exception of the management that saw fit to take me out of the office about a month ago. They all agree that the way that the Bureau is pursuing these January 6th cases is problematic and politically driven. I just think that the pressure that people feel, to stand up to it is tremendous. And frankly, I think when you combine an FBI agent's salary with the availability pay, then they have real demands on work compared to your average American, it's a pretty sweet gig. And a lot of people just aren't ready to part ways with that.
Steve, as someone who's been the belly of the beast, is this an organization that can reform itself? Or can we replace some people, obviously the director, some management, and get guys like you back focused on child predators? Or is this something that is so far gone, it's not worth saving? Because I'll tell you, from the outside looking in, that's what it looks like to me. It does not look like something that can be salvaged when you take into account the arrests of pro-lifers for reading Bible verses, the school board parent stuff. When you take it all in, it doesn't look like something that can be saved. But that's me. I'm a radio host. You were in. Can it?
I think it can if we examine the FBI as really being a couple of different legs to a stool. You have your headquarters, you have your academy, and you have your rank and file. I think two of those legs need to be done away with. I think that we need to completely revamp the way that we are bringing in new personnel, new agents, instead of trying to meet a particular a quota or educational requirement. I think we really need to find some good people who are, you know, have an investigative police or military background. I think there needs to be more emphasis on that. And then, and the biggest one is the headquarters implement aspect to it. I sat in a huge meeting a few months before my suspension, and I had a high-ranking FBI official from Human Resources address us and say that the FBI considered the field fully staffed, and their real needs were to beef up their management in Washington, D.C. And that, to me, is a major problem. I mean, there's even from the child exploitation angle alone, you could basically double the size of the FBI and never actually fully address that threat. So I think there needs to be more tied to, you know, let's get the work done, let's work the cases, let the real, you know, real case agents do their thing, and management needs to be completely revamped and sent back to the field or sent back entirely.
Again, we're speaking with Steve Friend, suspended special agent FBI. Steve, what's next for you? What's going on with you? Give us an update here. I know there are a lot of people who care. I'm most definitely one of them.
Well, thank you. So, you know, right now I've just decided to speak out about the facts in my complaint. It's already been made public. I don't feel like I needed to wait for the FBI's permission on that. And it's just so important that America hears that. Professionally, I don't know. I don't know where that's going to leave me. I'm comfortable with, you know, being able to put my head down at night on the pillow. I have to get one of the My Pillows because, you know, I know you like those.
I do.
But, I know I've done the right thing. I know I've stood by the oath that I took, and, you know, suspended, fired, retired, doesn't matter. The oath remains, and that's you know, why I made the decision I did. And hopefully everything else will take care of itself.
You daggone well did do the right thing. Steve, stay on the line, please. Obviously, we'll make sure the whole fam is going to enjoy some MyPillow courtesy of us here at the show. And beyond that, as I've already explained to you by email, you are not going to be out of work long. All right, we're going to find you something. As soon as you're ready for that, you just send me an email. Chris, send in my cell phone number and you text me, all right?
I will, sir. Thank you very much for everything you do.
God bless you and your family, my brother. Forget about me. It's you. That guy, what a freaking stud. Gosh, what a stud. That's guts. That's guts. Chris, I think we'll go ahead and hook him up with some MyPillow stuff, huh? And then we'll get a hold of our people in Florida. We'll get him taken care of. That guy is not going to be out of work on our watch. All right. Now, we got more to talk about. I talked yesterday about crime, speaking of crime, and how Democrats don't have an off-ramp. I'll explain, and then we're going to get to the Pfizer money portion of it and all kinds of fun still to come on the Jesse Kelly Show. Now, you want to go on vacation with me? No. Hold on. Let me clarify. You're never coming to the beach with me. You know why? Because the beach sucks. I don't want to go sit on the beach. It's boring. You know what I want to do? I want to do history vacations. I've already told the family, and they're cringing. We're going to take history vacations the rest of our lives. Next July, we're going to the Holy Land, baby. You want to talk about history? How about where Jesus walked? Sea of Galilee, King David, Masada, Jerusalem. 10 days in Israel with me, Chris, Michael, the fam. You can come. You have to go to ChristianExpedition.com/Jesse. That's where you sign up. ChristianExpedition.com/Jesse. Or call them 877-234-3002. Going to be a heck of a time. I'll see you there.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. That was intense, wasn't it? The Steve Friend, that was intense. I'm telling you what. That daggone guy. Man, that's awesome. That's guts right there. Swimming against the tide. That's what we need. That's awesome. All right, we're going to get to the Pfizer and the money stuff and
Trump and DeSantis are circling each other. Trump took a little shot at Heavy D. Of course, Heavy D's going to take a little shot at Trump. Look, if you listen to the Jesse Kelly Show, none of this is going to be surprising to you. Speaking of me, Chris, let's focus on me here for a second. I love, what's my favorite thing in the world? Being right. Being right. That's why I nicknamed myself the Oracle. People ask, Jesse, where'd you get all these nicknames, Shogun and Oracle? I gave myself all of those nicknames. Who knows me better than me? But the reason I call myself the Oracle is not just because I'm absurdly arrogant. It's because I'm right a lot. Do you remember like yesterday when I said Democrats are in very serious trouble? We were talking about Lee Zeldin maybe beating Kathy Hochul. Either way, it's going to be very close for the governor's race in New York. And we were saying that Democrats have a real serious issue, and it's not one they've had before. Their serious issue isn't just that they're soft on crime, because they've had that before. Places like New York have gone through that before. Their issue is they're no longer able politically to reverse course. It's not, they're not allowed to. Even if they wanted to, they can't do it. It's the same as their national policies on everything. People are mad about gas prices. And just in case you were wondering, gas prices are about to skyrocket. As soon as we stop tapping the strategic oil reserve, they're going to go way back up. And so the only solution to bring those costs down is to increase the supply. Everyone knows that. Doesn't matter. Left, right, middle, doesn't matter what you believe. Climate change, any of that crap. That's the only way to bring the prices down. More drilling. They're not allowed. Joe Biden is not allowed to drill more. The climate change nutball base that makes up a huge percentage of his voters and, more importantly, his donors would never allow that in a million years. So there is actually nothing Joe Biden can do about prices. Nothing. Because the one thing that would fix them, he's not allowed to do. Same problem Democrats have with crime. I saw somebody say today, he said, Democrats, I'll tell you what, this crime thing is going to cost them places like New York. And then there's going to be a reversal like before. No, not like before. Who funds the Democratic Party now? George Soros and people like him. This is not some internet conspiracy theory. This is George Soros admits all this stuff on camera. George Soros funds the Democratic Party. George Soros pours money into Democrat DAs who will have no restrictions on criminals whatsoever. They'll let all the violent criminals out of jail because, remember, George Soros wants to bring America to its knees. So he wants violent criminals out there raping and murdering people. That's what he does. That's what he wants. That he's allowed to do that, I'm not going to go off on that again, but that's what he wants. Democrats, even once they take a vicious beating at the polls in a couple weeks, well, 2 weeks from today, actually, 2 weeks from today, they're still not going to be able to reverse their crime policies. How do I know? Well, here's a great example. I already told you about all these polls that show Republican Lee Zeldin may be beating Kathy Hochul in basically the bluest state in the country. Eric Adams hit the news again today. Two different headlines. You got to love these. These are great ones. Thank you again, Eric.
We have a brand. New York has a brand. Kansas doesn't have a brand.
As crime surges, Eric Adams tells New Yorkers subway safety is up to them. Democrats are getting ready to lose even blue areas because of crime. And the Democrat mayor of New York City just told everybody, hey, you're on your own. He didn't say we're going to send more cops down there. We're going to lock these people up and throw away the key. We're going to charge them all to the hilt and throw them in prison forever. Did he? No, he didn't. What did he say? Best of luck, guys. Won't see me in the subway. Oh, but wait, there's more. There's another one. Thank you once again, Eric Adams, for proving my point. Remember, they must prove to the voters now in blue areas. They must prove to the voters that they can solve crime. People are scared to death. They're looking at all the murder and assaults. Democrats must prove to voters that they will do something about crime. And in the wake of that, this is what Eric Adams said. New York's Adams can't see crime solutions right in front of him. He can't see them. Look, hey, we looked into it, guys. I got to be honest. I got nothing. I have no idea. Yeah, I know a bunch of people are getting murdered, but I have no clue what to do about it. They're not going to reverse after they take a beating in the midterms because they're not allowed to reverse. They're not allowed. Their base demands it. Their base demands it. Their donor class demands it. Eric Adams, Kathy Hochul, they don't have the freedom to call up George Soros and say, hey, George, you dirtball, guess what? We're getting tough on crime now. I can't risk losing these elections, George. Sorry, man. These bail laws, gone. We're locking them all up. They don't have the freedom. They don't, frankly, have the power. They're powerless to reform these policies. They're powerless. How does that end? I don't know. But when it comes to the condition of cities, it doesn't end well. I promise you that much. All right. Enough of that. Enough of that nonsense. Let's focus on something good, right? Because we're going to talk about money and Pfizer and Joe Biden, a bunch of the stuff he said today. We're going to get to all that in just a moment. Let's talk about something good. Let's talk about today being Election Day. No, I'm not talking about early voting. I'm talking about every day of your life being Election Day. You vote every single day with the choices you make, with your money, with the business decisions you make, with the goods and services you purchase. Today, look at your cell phone right now. Look at it. Today, you either funded a freedom-loving company that loves you and your values, or you funded a despicable cultural Marxist company that hates you and your values. So let me ask you something about that cell phone. Is it a Verizon phone? Or AT&T? T-Mobile? If it is, you funded communism today. Me, I have Pure Talk, the one I'm holding up right now, Pure Talk phone. CEO's a veteran. They love America so much, they only hire Americans who speak English for customer service. Pure Talk loves you and your values. You'll never turn on TV and see a Pure Talk Pride Month ad. They love you. You can have it too and save a fortune. Average family saves almost $1,000 a year. That cell phone of yours? Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you an additional 50% off your first month. Dial #250, say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk. Now, speaking of me being right, I came on here and I made a prediction 2 years ago. Joe Biden and Pfizer were kind enough today to combine and prove me right once again. And what's better than me being right? And I will play you all that next.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.